Let's pray, Father, as we come to your word and to the message of your word, may it accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. May it find a home in our hearts, and may our lives be changed to your glory and to our good, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at 1 Samuel in our morning services, and I've come to this passage today in chapter 12, and I thought how appropriate this is for, I know it's a slightly different service today with a slightly different congregation, but nevertheless, this is more than appropriate for a service such as this. Large numbers of young people here with us this morning. And I wonder, young people, have you ever been asked, as I was asked when I was young, what do you want to be when you grow up? You ever get asked that question? Nod your heads, yes. You get asked maybe all the time, what do you want to be whenever you grow up? And you maybe have different answers to that question. Some of you might say, I want to be a farmer. That's what I want to be, and drive around in big machines and make lots of money like a farmer. Rueful laugh from farmers. Or I want to be a film star. You might want to be a film star and appear on screen, and you maybe want to do that. Or maybe you say, I want to be a fashion designer. Or maybe you say, I want to be a footballer and I want to play for my favorite team. This morning in 1 Samuel chapter 12, we have an old man called Samuel. He calls himself in this passage old and gray. Maybe he's like your granda or maybe like your great-granda. He's old and gray. And here in chapter 12, he's looking back over his life. And he's thinking about the life that he has lived. And I think if Samuel was here today, he would say to you and he would say to me, here are three things, young people, for you to aim for. And not just young people, but every single person in this building this morning. Here are three things for you to aim for, targets for you to aim for. Because it seems to me a lot of people are living their lives aimlessly. They don't have a clue where they've come from or where they're going. They don't have any sense of direction. They're just drifting through life and hoping everything works out okay in the end, when very often it doesn't. So let me, today, you'll see coming up on the screen now some graphics. Here they come. A flurry of activity on the sound desk. Three things to aim for, okay? So we've had our reading. And the first one is, and this is from 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is this old man, old and gray, addressing younger people. And he says, aim to live a clean life. And he says to the people, whose ox or whose donkey have I taken? Who have I cheated? Who have I bullied? From whom have I taken a bribe? In other words, Samuel had not stolen from people. Samuel had not bullied people. Samuel was not greedy for money. And so he says at the end of his life, if anybody can say, yes, you stole from me, or yes, you took a bribe from me, or yes, you were dishonest, I'll pay them back right now. But as this man looks back over his life, he says, I have lived a clean life. And younger people, older people, I want to say to you today to aim to live a clean life to the glory of God. We live in a world today that all too often is a selfish world, where we are told to do whatever it takes to get ahead. The world tells us to sleep around, to do drink, to do drugs, to gamble. You have to walk all over people in order to get ahead. If that's so, we'll just do it, because it's all about you. But Samuel was concerned to live a clean life to the glory of God, not to abuse people or to rip them off, not to bully them. As Paul says in Romans chapter 12, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. If you think of a fish swimming in the water, as it comes to a wiggly worm, it maybe thinks this looks like a really tasty wiggly worm that I'm going to eat. But what the fish doesn't know is that the fisherman has a hook inside that worm. And when it bites on that worm, it'll be caught. And when it's hooked, it'll be cooked. And there are a lot of things in this world, aren't there, that sound so good, that look so good, that smell so good, that taste so good, but if you swallow them, you'll be cooked. And I say this to you today, aim for a clean life to the glory of God. Find out what God wants for your life and aim to live that life, because in the end, you'll look back over it like this old man Samuel and you'll say, I have no regrets. Now, he wasn't perfect. There was much in Samuel's life that he would have said to you if he was here today, well, I wasn't good in this area or that. But nevertheless, overall, he aimed for a clean life. That was his target, to the glory of God. Secondly, let me talk about aiming for a life that is clear. Now, what I mean by clear? What I mean by clear is a life that was clear, not just about the existence of God, but a life that was clear about the doings of God in this world. Samuel was clear. Many people will say today, there is no God. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Nobody wants to be a fool. Many people today will say, well, I don't know if there is a God or not, and they just kind of shrug their shoulders. But Samuel was clear that there is a God. Samuel knew, he says in verse 22, that God had made a promise. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. God had made a promise that out of all the nations, he would bring a people. And he would preserve that people. And when that people were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, he brought them out of Egypt. They walked out of Egypt because God brought them out. When Philistines then attacked them when they were in the promised land, God sent men like Gideon and Barak and Jephthah who were saviors and kept them in the promised land. Here in this passage, there is a thunderstorm. Samuel prays for them and there's this thunderstorm at the time of year when it doesn't rain. Because God is giving signs that he is with this people to save them, to keep them forevermore. And the greatest act of all that God did on earth is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Long ago, says Hebrews 1, and at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets like Samuel, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The greatest act of all of God in human history is the coming of his Son to save men and women, young people from their sins and to bring them and give them eternal life. And on the cross, that's why I spoke to the children about Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. On the cross, he was dead for our sins. He satisfied the justice of God. He demonstrates the mercy of God that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not go to hell, but will have the gift of eternal life. Today is the day in the year when we look back to the end of the First World War and Second World War in particular, and we are glad that for our country, war is over. But when Jesus was on the cross, he made peace, not between Germany and England. He made peace between heaven and earth. He is the mediator. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. And we are brought near to God by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Samuel was clear on God's doings, clear on God's workings, that God had come to save a people. I wonder, are you clear on God's work on the cross and in your life? Because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's gift to this world in which we are living. The third and final thing I want to say to you today, that I believe if Samuel was here, he aimed for a clean life, he aimed for a clear life, He aimed for a concerned life, because listen to what he says in verse 23. And it's good to be concerned about things. Many young people are concerned about the environment, politics, the homeless, the hungry. It's good to be concerned. But Samuel said to the people in verse 23, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and in the right way." I met a man recently on the road. He stopped. I was out for a walk, and he stopped beside me, and he said to me, he named a road, and he said, "I'm trying to find," it was the Bandura Road. He was actually at that stage on the Coleraine Road. And I said to him, "You're going to have to turn around, and you're going to have to go back the way you've come to get to the Bandura Road." He was lost. And many people are lost with God. And what they need to do is to turn around, and they need to turn to Christ. Samuel says, "I will instruct you in the good and the right way." He was concerned that the people would get lost, would lose their way. And so he prayed. He prayed continually. He prayed unceasingly. He prayed like Jesus in John chapter 17 that Chloe read about earlier. He committed them to the Lord. He interceded for them, just as Jesus said, "Holy Father, keep them in your name. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." So Samuel taught them the importance of prayer, because it's a battle to keep the faith. Much will be against you. And today we remember battles and wars, but there is an ongoing war to fight the good fight, to walk with the Lord, to talk with the Lord, and to be one of the faithful people of God that Sam read about in 1 Samuel chapter 12, who God has promised to save and to keep in this world and then for the world to come. So as I end then today, could I ask, what are you aiming for in your life? Are you aiming for anything? An awful lot of people are drifting aimlessly. But from God's word, what Samuel says here, I believe, is appropriate for every single one of us in this meeting house this morning. Aim to live a clean life, a clear life on who God is, and a concerned life to keep yourself and others right with God. Because this is the best life. This is the rewarding life. The pleasures of sin last for a brief period, but eternal pleasures are forevermore. So that when you come to the end of your life, when you're old and gray like Samuel, you'll be able to say, "Godliness with contentment has been great gain." Mightn't have much in this world's terms, but to know the Lord is great gain. This is my true wealth. This is what lasts forever. This is the most precious thing of all. Turn to Christ. Make him your wealth and your health, and follow him who is the resurrection and the life. Let's pray.